And as you were reading that, I was thinking that it might be a good idea, and some of you might have done this, I hope you have, is that as you went through this, just checking out what might be a topic, what are several topics through these portions of scriptures that would come up. Because the book of Proverbs, a lot of times, is very topical. As we get from chapter 10 all the way through 31, you'll see that it is very disjointed as far as thematic kind of reading. You'll have one subject, then another subject, to another subject, back to the same subject, or another type of proverb that ties into one that's a couple chapters before, and it's all over the place. So as you read the book of Proverbs, one way to read it is to read it topically, to try to find topics that are tied together through different parts of the scripture. So as I did this, I found that from chapter 2, well, actually from chapter 1 all the way through 31, the topic of the path or the way is found 93 times in my Bible. That's the New International Version. 100 times in the King James Version. And when you take chapters 2 through 4, you have 27 times that these words are used. So I thought that's what we would cover this morning, is looking at staying on the right path. Staying on the right path. Now, in order to stay on the right path, wisdom is involved. Of course, the big theme of the book of Proverbs is the subject of wisdom. And we defined that last week, seeing life from God's perspective and applying it to your life. So as you look at life and you have wisdom, you see things from God's perspective and you start to act on what God is showing you is the way He would want you to live. Now, this writer of the Psalms, I mean of the Proverbs, is of course Solomon, and his father is David. And David would instruct Solomon in the things of God. I found this verse, these verses in Psalm 119, and I thought this was very interesting. David writes, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws." So as he makes this testimony so much, testimony about his perspective on the law and how he's become wise, Solomon now is going to pass on some of the wisdom that he's gained from his father. And in chapters 2, and chapter 3, and chapter 4, you see him starting each chapter with the same kind of message. "My child," verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, "my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." Again, Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying." Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention to and learn good judgment, for I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions." Does this sound anything like what you do with your kids? "Now listen to me. I got something I want to tell you." The rolling of the eyes. This is a theme that that the Proverbs say you need to pay attention. Each chapter begins, "Pay attention, listen, give heed to this. This is important." So, as our Father, the Lord God, is speaking to us this morning, He says, "I want you to pay attention. Listen. Take it seriously, what I'm going to talk to you about." And in fact, I think this just is an admonition to us as parents, especially us as fathers, to teach our children, to give them wisdom, to give them guidance, and to instruct them. You know, Children that don't have parents, don't have fathers, wind up in some of the worst things in their lives. They wander off into paths that are destructive and hurtful. So it's an important thing. In fact, I was reading a study on criminal behavior, and what they have found, what used to be the case, what they used to believe, was that criminals and crime is more influenced by your environment and social pressures and cultural things than it is by anything else. So your poverty, your circumstances of your life and where you live, these things were very instrumental and were the major cause for crime. Well, they've done some new studies on this over the last 10 years, and they found that that's really not very true. What's more true is the choices that they make and the decisions that they make is what causes them to become criminal in their lifestyle. And if they're not taught how to choose right, what is right, what is wrong, they're going to choose wrong more than not. So it's very important that we pass these things on to our children. Now, the theme verse I want to look at is going to be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So you might turn your Bibles there and just put your finger there, and we'll go back to that. But first of all, in Proverbs chapter 6, 22 through 23, it says this: "When you walk, they will guide you." Now, this is speaking of the Scriptures. "When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the ways of life." Now, there's two words I want to look at in that verse: the lamp and light. If you're at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, would you just circle those two words, lamp and light? And I'm going to come back to those in a minute here. Lamp and light. And they have to do with the way of life. The way of life is another way of saying the path of life or the journey of life. We can find ourselves wandering, lost. Now, I hate to admit this in public, so I'm going to ask you a favor, that you not let this information out this morning. But I'm directionally challenged. I can easily get lost. One of the reasons I bought the phone that I have, it has a little navigation thing on it that I just saves my life. It does. Now, every once in a while, you know, these navigation things will send you on a path, you know, but they'll get you there. It's amazing. If I follow my intuition, and I do have some of that sometimes, and I go, should I turn right or left? I'll take a right. Now, here's the thing. You got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. I just have this instinct to go the wrong way, make the wrong turn. Even coming back from Mexico, we're all gathered together, okay, let's head on out. So I head on out and I take the wrong ramp and go the other way. And of course the GPS thing is going, make a U-turn, buddy. In a nice way. So it's easy to get lost. There's a survey done of reasons why people get lost. 47% of those 18 and older said they got lost while driving because of bad directions. Others, unclear, missing highway signs. We had that experience in Mexico. I can't read Spanish. And I was looking in all these signs, and I'm going, oh my. And then I saw a little picture of a thing with the number one. I thought, that's it. You know, and luckily that was. And went on the wrong, got out of the city and went where we were supposed to go. Another one was detours. Another, confusing maps, 21%. And auto distractions, 13%. So in life, there are these distractions. There's bad directions. There's signs that you can't read because you're not aware or you can't read them. All these things can cause us to choose the wrong path. Now notice it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." So the first thing that you want to do, if you're going to stay on the path of life, if you're going to stay on the right path, is that you have to trust God. You have to trust God to stay on the right path. It requires trust. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, and here's what I was referring to earlier. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Again, the two words, light and lamp. Now the lamp here is tied to my feet and the light for my path. Here's the thing. If you want to give someone directions, they have to know where they are first. You ever tried to give someone directions and they don't know where they are? So, where are you? I don't know. Well, tell me there's a tree. Well, that helps. That's good. We're getting closer. Any street signs? No street signs. Anything else that kind of, no. Well, how in the world am I going to give you directions if you don't know where you are? That's the first statement of this scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet. In other words, your word tells me where I am. Where I am, who I am, what is it that, where's my life? You need the word of God to speak into your life to tell you where you are, in order to take you where you need to go. And if you don't know where you are or who you are, as the scripture teaches you, then you can't go anywhere. No matter where you say, I need to get there, but you won't get there because you don't know where you are. Number two, a light for my path. The Word of God makes the path clear, makes it, you can see it. It lights it. The Word of God enables you to see where God wants you to go. Now again, if you don't know where you're going, I can't give you directions. So where are you going? I don't know. Well, how can I help you to get there if you don't know where you're going? So these things are important. The scripture is essential to gaining insight about where to go and how to get there. Now, you can't follow this path without trust. And the important thing is trusting in God. That is really essential. You would think that it would be, make sure that you have a lot of information about where you're supposed to go. Get clear directions. No, it doesn't say that. It says trust. Here's the point. Trusting in, not knowledge of God's word, is the key. Trusting in, not knowledge of God's word, is the key. Now you're saying, that doesn't sound right. Knowledge of God's word, that's what we're here, right? Yes, that's true. We're here to gain knowledge of God's word. But it's more important that you trust it than you know it. Now I have to say, knowing it is tied to trusting. But just knowing the word of God doesn't mean that you're going to be on the path. How many people know somebody who knows a lot about the Bible, but they're going nowhere with their life? Just knowing the Bible is not enough. You have to trust it. In 2006, a medical study revealed that people who had a bypass operation. We're given information about their condition. In fact, they did a study of over 600,000 people. And these people were told after their bypass that they must change their lifestyle. The heart bypass is a temporary fix, and they must change their diet. They must quit smoking and drinking. They must exercise and reduce stress. In other words, they said, change your life or you're going to die. Now, you would think that a near-death experience would forever grab the attention of the patients. You would think they would vote for change. You would think that the argument for change is so compelling that the patients would make the appropriate lifestyle alterations. Sadly, that is not the case. 90% of the heart patients do not change. They remain the same, living the status quo. Study after study indicates that 2 years after heart surgery, the patients have not altered their behavior. Instead of making changes for their life, they choose death. Change is that difficult. The majority of the heart patients chose not to change. They act as if they would rather die. Now, here's the thing. I can know what God says, and it may be as dangerous as a heart attack and death. But somehow, I don't trust enough to change. When I trust God, it's casting my life into His hands. It's where I have confidence in Him that I'm able to feel safe and secure, that when I put it into His hands, it's taken care of. When you trust somebody, really trust somebody, you give them and you don't take it back. You give them that responsibility. Say, for instance, you have a chore or a job that needs to be done and you can't get it done, and so you look to someone that you can trust that will get that done, and you say, here, I need you to do this for me. Can you do it? I know I can trust you. And then you don't think about it because you trust them. Trust is necessary in order to follow the path that God has for you. Failing to trust can lead you to unintended destinations. Failing to trust can lead you to unintended destinations. When I fail to trust God, I'm drawing back from God. When you don't trust somebody, what do? You kind of pull back from them a little bit. When you don't trust the Lord in things, because sometimes that's all you have, is that you trust Him. Because you just don't know. And if you don't trust, you're going to pull back from that source of security, that source of strength, that source of sense of confidence. And usually you'll start to trust something else. So when you don't trust God, you find yourself making decisions that lead you in directions that you didn't intend for them to go. How many people have had, let's say for instance, started smoking when they were teenagers? Okay. Oh, I didn't ask for hands, but that's okay. Now, when a person starts to smoke at an early age, they don't go, yeah, I'm going to smoke because I want to get emphysema. That's kind of where I want to go. That's where I want to end up. I've been thinking about it a long time, and that's what I'm going to do. No, I kind of want to have lung cancer. That's what I'm going for. So I'm starting now at 15, and I'm going to... But that's where that goes. See, that's where that path, that's where it leads. And you don't trust... Somehow you're not trusting what they say. This is dangerous. This could cause all these things. And you go, eh... And you ignore it. When God speaks, He says, I want you to trust me. that what I say is true. And we say, well, I don't want to do that. And I think I'm going to do this. And you don't know where this is going to lead. See, a lot of things about these decisions that we make and these unintended consequences that we receive, they don't happen right away. 15 years later, that's when it starts to come into fruition. That's when these things start to have their effect. But we don't start with that. But we end up there, just the same. I didn't intend to go there. I didn't intend to arrive at that place. Your intentions may have been good, but it has nothing to do with going the right way. You can have the best intentions, the greatest sincerity, but it does not mean anything when it comes to following the right path. Intentions mean nothing. It's the direction you're going. I didn't intend to get lost. I intended to go the right way, but I was going this way instead of that way. Doesn't that count for something? No, it doesn't. Doesn't count for anything. Intention won't help you. It's the direction that you go that makes the difference. And when you trust God, you're going His direction. When you don't trust God, you're not going to go His direction. It's just a matter that simple. And you can't treat God's will and what He says as though it's a buffet lunch. We'll have a buffet today and you can choose whatever you like. But with God, you can't do that. If you're going to just pick and choose, you're not following. You're organizing. So what happens when God's direction conflicts with your direction? Now here's where trust really kicks in. And how many, and I'll let you raise your hand on this one, how many of you have had an experience or a time in your life, maybe you're in that right now, where God's direction seems to conflict with what you want to go, where you want to go with your life? You ever had that happen? If you haven't, you will. Do you hear me on that? If you haven't, you will. Here's a guy, I would like to read his story here. He says, I can't live Jesus' life, and Jesus knows that. But he says, you can ask me to come and live my life in you. I'll give you a picture of this. Nancy and I were in a part of the country we had never been before. We were going to be driving an obscure back road. So we got a rental car, and the guy at the counter said to me, along with this car, if you want, you can also get a GPS system. Have you ever used a GPS system? You plug it in and punch in your destination. A woman's voice will tell you how to get wherever it is you are going. Well, then, when the guy at the counter asked if I wanted one, my immediate response was no. That's going to cost something, and I don't need that. I can find where I'm going without that. Anybody want to guess what my wife weighed in with? Get the GPS. So we got the GPS. Here's the deal. You can get the box. You can have the lady in the car. But that doesn't mean you trust her. If you trust her, what do? You do what she says. You go where she tells you to go. She says turn left, you turn left. If she says turn right, you turn right. But I want to turn left. You remember, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So, to follow Jesus means I will do what He says. I will mess up a lot. I'm going to need this power. I know that, but I form the intention. I say to Him, God, with Your help, as best I can, I will do what You say. I will give You my life, my time, my obedience. Here's the thing. If that is not your settled intent, then it is best to be honest about it. If that is not your settled intent, then whatever else you might be, you're not a follower of Jesus. An admirer, maybe, but He is looking for followers. He is looking for somebody who will say, all right, God. There's something else you need to know about Him, something that is also true when dealing with a GPS system. At one point, when we're driving in this car, I was quite sure the lady was wrong. She said to go left, but I didn't go left. I went right because I knew she was wrong. Then, as the interesting response, she said, recalculating route. When safe to do so, execute a U-turn. I knew she was wrong, so I unplugged her. That's the beauty of that little box. You can unplug her. So we plugged that lady, U-turn, says, I got lost, and my wife enjoyed that immensely. So we plugged that lady back in, and you know what she said? I told you so. No, you little idiot. No, she didn't say that either. You think I'm going to help you now? No, she didn't say that. You reject me? You just find your own way home. No, she didn't say that either. Recalculating route. When safe to do so, execute a U-turn. Now see, that's grace. As soon as you're ready to listen, as soon as you're ready to surrender, God will say, here's the way home, execute a U-turn. That's repentance. I'll bring you home. That is grace. That's Jesus. He is the only one with authoritative wisdom about how to live. He's the only one who brings about the possibility of forgiveness for your sin and mine. He's the only one to give you any kind of realistic hope of conquering death, of life beyond the grave. Now, why would you not give your full devotion to Jesus? He does not present himself as a good spiritual teacher to be admired from a distance. He presents himself as Master and Lord, as the one to be followed and served and obeyed and worshiped. There is no other way. He is it. Now, a little caveat here. Sometimes GPSs get it wrong. But God never does. You can always count on his direction, even though you may think it's the wrong direction. So it says, trust in the Lord. Trust is the first aspect. Then it says, with all your heart, and lean not unto your understanding. So the next part here is, with all your heart. It takes commitment to stay on the right path. You can't do it half-heartedly. You have to do it with all your heart. Not a divided heart, a whole heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, I hope all of you know what the heart is, when we're talking about the heart, what that means. It's the person inside. Your emotions, your will, your mind, your thoughts, the total person inside. You need to devote that heart, your affections, direct them to the Lord. Direct them to trusting what he says. See, you don't trust your heart, you trust God with your heart. That's a difference. Trusting your heart is basically trusting yourself. You trust your heart to God. Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Now here's an interesting thing. Whatever you have your heart set on is the direction that you're going to go. Whatever you have your heart set on is the direction you will go. So what do you have your heart set on? See, whatever your heart loves, your eyes and your ears will focus on. See, whatever you pay attention to, whatever you focus on, that will be the direction you go. When you're driving, if you're not focused on the road, guess what? If you turn and you look in here, your body, your hands and everything follow your head and your eyes and where they're going. and you'll find yourself wandering off. It's interesting how we are able to spot things that we have our heart set on. Whereas before we didn't notice them, but now we do, because our heart is set on those things. It's interesting to me, people who are kind of in that mate selection time, their heart gets set on somebody. Did you know that they know where that person is at all times? In a room, they just kind of go, ooh, there they are. Because their heart is there, and they just go, oh, there. When my heart is set on something other than the Lord, it just seems that I just find that. I go to that. Where a person has not their heart set on that, they won't even notice it. Well, did you see him? Who? You know, him. Was he there? Yes, he was there. You didn't see him? Yes, he was. You know. Why? Because they always see them. They're always aware of where they are. Well, if your heart is set on something else, guess what? You're going to go that direction. You need to examine your life. Where's your attention? Attention focused. Where does your mind go? What do you spend your time thinking about and desiring? That's the direction your life will go. If your heart is not set on the things of God and the things that He wants for your life, you can't follow Him. Next, it says in Proverbs, again, chapter 3, to lean not on your own understanding. Here's another thing. The right path isn't for the self-sufficient. The right path is not for the self-sufficient. That kind of goes against the grain of our culture. Our culture is very much independent, self-sufficient. And if you've adopted that kind of philosophy in your life in some way, then that will make it so that you can't stay on the path. It'll draw you off the path. So the question is, what do you lean on? What are you putting your weight on? To lean on something is to try to get support from that something. You draw your strength from that. You put your weight on it. You lean on it. So I'm leaning on this thing here. We used to have these different chairs back here, little black thing, and one time I leaned on it. In other words, I sat on the thing. It was very cheap because it couldn't hold me. And it went poof. I trusted it. I was leaning on it. Well, there are things in our life that we think are worthy of our trust and can support our weight. Sometimes we lean on our own experience. Or our own insight, our own education, or the conventional wisdom, or our common sense, or our feelings, or our own strengths, maybe even on our own understanding. But see, the thing about life is that we don't always understand. Amen? You been there yet? You don't understand why I don't get it. And you contemplate it, you try to figure it out, you work through it, and then you come out the other end and you go, I still don't understand. I don't get it. So what do you do when you don't understand? A lot of times we don't understand when things when the things that we lean on fail us. That's a lot of times when those things go, I don't understand. See, because it worked before. I leaned on it before and it held me. See, when your self-sufficiency conflicts with what God says, And you say, well, what God wants me to do doesn't make any sense. I don't see how that gets, I don't get it. That's the time you trust. That's the time you lean even harder into His Word. Because you can trust His Word. You can trust Him. Now, finally here, it says here to, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, another way to put this is here, I'll put it in, you have to bring God into your choices. You have to bring God into your choices to stay on the right path. The word acknowledge, one of the meanings of this in the Hebrew is to know. To know in the sense that you recognize God in your path. You recognize that God is directing. You acknowledge Him in your path, in your direction you're going. In other words, you're taking Him with you in every area of your life, in all the choices and decisions you're making. You acknowledge Him and His place on the path. This is the path I want to go. I'm going with Him down this path. Now, if let's just picture in your mind, here you are, you're holding God's hand and He's taking you down the path. Then comes a decision, and you're going, He's saying, let's continue, and you're going, but this is what I want to do. This is the direction I want to go. Surely there are more ways than one way to get to where I need to go. What happens when you want to go that direction? And He says, no, I don't want you to go that direction. This is the direction for your life. You let go. And you get off. You can't take Him with you. He won't go there. He's the one that leads. You don't lead. So if you're trying to take Him with you, He won't go. He won't go with you there. When you're thinking about doing something that you know is wrong, God's not going with you. So what happens? You find yourself vulnerable to all kinds of problems. So the question again, what part of your life are you leaving God out of? Have you noticed that about some people? When you talk to them, they leave things out. Now, why in the world do they do that? Why don't they give you all the information? Can anybody guess? Sometimes, because they don't want you to know, because if you know, you might say, that's not a good idea. Don't go there. So, they don't tell you. And they tell you something that they know that you want to hear, and the thing that it's not a lie, those things are not a lie, they're true, but they're not telling you the whole thing. Now, you can do that with people, and they'll believe you. But after a while, they'll find out. But with God, you can never do that. He knows already. See, the thing about walking down the path that God has for you, He knows all the paths. He knows all of them. He knows where they're going. In fact, He knows the ones that you could have chosen and where it would have gone if you chose it. I thought that was very interesting when, and I can't remember, I just came to my mind, there was a portion of Scripture that I read where God was speaking to somebody. He said, and if He had done this, this is what would have happened. But they didn't choose that. They chose this. So God knew, even if they chose where they would have gone, that they didn't choose. He knows all the paths. He knows all the places that they go and all the consequences and all the circumstances that happen. Here's an interesting portion in Proverbs chapter 2. And it really talks about the fact that God protects us. God's protection is on the path that He chooses. If you're going to follow God and you're going to go on that path that He says here, He'll protect you. There'll be protection involved. Now, Here's the thing. Verse 7, it says, he grants a treasure of common sense. This is the New Living Translation. In other words, sound wisdom. I think a New American Standard Version says sound wisdom. He grants the treasure of sound wisdom to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then, consequence, if, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Now, this common sense here is a difficult word to translate, and different ones have translated a different way, but it's the ability to be able to see a way out of situations that you didn't count on. That's kind of a paraphrase here of that. When you get into situations that weren't counted on, unexpected, the unexpected of life, this wisdom, this common sense that God gives us will enable you to navigate those things. Here's another way to look at it. When you are dealing with circumstances and something unfortunate happens, if you have a certain character, in other words, you understand what is right, what is just and fair, your character is of a just, a person of integrity and a sense of honesty, you will make certain choices that will open certain doors, that will enable you to see certain things, that will take you in a different direction, enable you to avoid some pitfalls that are there. Am I making any sense? Because this is more about character development than it is about choosing a certain career path or going a certain direction with your life. It's about character. Having a godly character is the person who's wise, and they see things that other people don't. They make choices that other people don't. For instance, if you're a person who likes to manipulate and cheat, what are you looking for? You're looking for ways to work the situation. But a person who's honest, who's just and fair, isn't looking for a way to get out of it. He's looking a way to deal with it in a way that's just, fair, and right. So a person who's basically a con man will never see the path that God has. They'll be oblivious to it. And what is easier to do, possibly, and probably less costly and everything else, they'll avoid. For instance, a person who's a compulsive liar, when telling the truth is so much easier, they'll lie instead. They don't think that way. I remember dealing with a lady that was just unbelievable. That's all I can say. They were unbelievable. And I don't mean this in a pun way, but they were just, it was amazing. Because you couldn't believe them. They were unbelievable because you couldn't believe them. They were always telling stories to elicit some kind of sympathy or some kind of feeling of, pity. They lost their fiance in an airplane crash. Oh, that's so horrible. I'm going to have to go. And then they come back. Oh, yeah, my arm. This lady was a walking tragedy. Every month there was something new. to talk about how unfortunate her life was. But when you examine it a little closer, you go, that didn't happen. So you confront it. Hey, really? Did they? Well, and they change the story a little bit, and then you'd spend all your time researching and trying to figure out the truth, and then confront her, and then they have another story. It was like a never-ending story of lies. I can't believe the amount of work that she went through to tell a lie, when the truth would have been so much easier. I said all that to say this, that you have to have a character in order, a character of righteousness in order to follow this path. And that's when you bring God into your choices, when you bring God into your life and you're walking with God, you're focusing on Him and what He has to tell you. Now, the point of all this is that God wants to walk with you. God isn't just interested in you making right choices, although He is interested in that. But more important to Him is not that you make all the right choices, is that you walk with Him. Because you won't always make the right choices. You're a human being. I'm a human being. We are like sheep. We go astray. We make wrong choices. But God always wants you to come to Him. If He was only interested in right choices, then when you made a bad choice, He would go, ah. But He's not. He's interested in you walking with Him. So the whole point about wisdom and taking the right path is about walking with God. And like I said earlier, you can always take a U-turn. You can always come back and get on the path again. Now this path is the journey of your life. And it says here, He will make your paths straight. Make your path straight. And it really has to do with making your way clear. Clear. I'm always impressed by people who can see clearly. Not talking about physical sight. I'm talking about able to see a situation clearly. Able to see, here's where it starts, and this is where it ends. This is where it goes. And they say, oh, you don't want to do that. Why? I mean, you don't want to go there. Sometimes, in counseling appointments, I've counseled so many couples so many times, different situations, that a couple might come to me and I'll say, well, you don't want to go there. And they say, why? Well, here's what probably will happen. This will take place, that will take place, this will take place. And then you'll end right up there. He says, how'd you know that? That's exactly what happened. Well, you don't want to go there again then. Because you'll end up in the same place. This is the kind of life that you will have. You will see things clearer. And your wisdom will grow. And you'll become more understanding of the ways and the things of life. Until one of the verses says that the righteous, those with wisdom, their path is like the dawning of the sun. So get that picture in your mind. The sun is coming up. And the rays of light are starting to come. It's pink, you know. And you can see it's kind of a dusk. And it's getting lighter. And it says, and their light grows brighter as the days continue, until they arrive at their destination. That's the picture that God wants to have for you, that you have a righteous life that grows brighter as the day goes on. Now, some of us never get past the dawn. I took one vacation to Alaska once with a friend, and we were there in July. I think it was June 30th, July, and that was the time where the sun never really sets, and it goes down and it stays there just below the mountains the whole time. I was out at 3 in the morning taking pictures of these wildflowers. I had no concept of time because I was all mixed up because the sun didn't go down. It stayed there all night. Some of us, our lives never go any farther than that beginning step. We can never see clearer than the first part of our life. It's like we're stuck. God wants your clarity of vision to grow as time goes on. But it takes, as we said in the beginning, you have to take heed. You have to listen. You have to pay attention. You have to focus on this in order for you to stay on the path. I'll tell you, this study has been amazing for me. I've never really studied the book of Proverbs that much. I picked one or two things from here or there. But the more I've read this, the more I like, wow, this is so much stuff. And I had a problem cutting this down, as you could probably tell. There are so many things that you could talk about. But I hope that you picked some of the pick up some of the major points that I talked about this morning. Trusting God, committing to God, and I got to run through it myself. Committing to God, banding your own self-sufficiency, and bringing God into your choices. Just doing those things will change your life and the path of your life. May I ask one more question? Is there a part of your life that you're keeping God out of? Why? Are you afraid that God will have you do something that you don't like, that would be bad? Are you afraid that He'll say no? Including God into everything is important. In fact, in my time of study here, God is speaking to me about certain things in my life that I need to change, that I just didn't include Him in, because I haven't found out yet. I'm working on it to find out. Why do I do that? Why did I do those things? You ever have those kind of questions? Why did I do that? You need to pay attention to the ways that you go, the paths that you take, the choices that you make. Why am I leaving God out of this, and why do I just do what I want to do in that area? How come I haven't consulted Him on that? What is His opinion on this? Anyhow, as you can see, I could probably go a long time on this one. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we had to just open Your word a little bit. And I'm always amazed of how true Your word is, and how far-ranging it is. Lord, I pray that You would help me to stay on the path that You have for me, that I'd walk closer to You, and that I would abandon those things that keep me from walking on the path with You, in fellowship with You. And just thank You, Lord, and pray these things, Jesus, for all Your people here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.